Lord, again, every one of us has need that has come to this place this morning. There are those, Father, that are struggling physically. There are those that are fighting disease in their body. Father, I pray the healing touch of your hand to be upon their lives. Jesus, by your stripes we were healed. We understand that a power was released, a provision was made. And I pray especially for those, Lord, that are hurting today physically, that they would receive strength and help from you even this morning. Father, for those who have strained relationships, oh Lord, may you fill their hearts today with grace for others, with mercy for others, even as they have received grace and mercy from your hand. For those, Lord, that are lost, that don't really know you, Jesus, whose names are not written in the book of life, who are not destined yet for heaven, may this be the day when they realize that you are willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And may this be the morning, Father, when they respond to the Savior and are born again. For all of us here, Father, in the church family, we need to be those that are wise. Even as your Son told us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, I pray that your Word and your Spirit would grant us the wisdom that we might walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Oh, Father, teach us from the Scriptures this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Going to the end of the chapter, verse 21, speaking of those that come in bringing false teachings, those false teachers, Peter says, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. A duck walked in to the pharmacy, and the lady behind the counter said, "What can I do for you?" And the duck said, "I would like some chapstick, please." And the lady said, "Well, how do you intend to pay for it?" And he, the duck, said, "Just put it on my bill." I quacked up when I heard that. A bill, a duck. How about this one? The frog. He walks into the bank and he asks the teller, Who do I talk to get a loan?" And the teller says, "Well, you need to talk to our loan officer, Miss Patty Whack." And so he says, "Oh, okay." And so he goes over to Miss Whack's office, and she says, "How can I help you?" And he says, "Well, Miss Whack, I need a loan." "Well," Patty said, "what do you have for collateral?" And he said, "All I've got is this little figurine." So she takes the little figurine to the bank president and said, "President, sir, a frog walked in here and wants a loan, and all he has for collateral is this little figurine." Well, the president said, "It's a knick-knack, Patty Whack. Give the frog a loan." I see Everett writing these down. Now, I don't need to tell you that the story of the duck or the story of the frog isn't true. No one in this amphitheater, hopefully, thinks that those are true stories. Why? Because animals don't act that way. Ducks don't go into pharmacies for chapstick. Frogs don't go into banks to get loans. It is not animal behavior for animals to do those things, you see, obviously. Obviously, you know that what is being said by me in those stories was just a joke. It couldn't be reality. Animals, you see, act in a certain manner. They're predictable in their behavior, you see. Now, in our text, in our teaching this morning, the Apostle Peter refers to some animals that have application to the situation that he was in. Here's what's happening. Think with me. Peter, the apostle, is coming to the end of his life. He knows his days are numbered. This will be indeed his last letter. He will soon be crucified upside down outside of the city of Rome. He writes to the people this last letter with something that is of great concern to him, something that's very heavy on his heart. 2 Peter deals primarily with Peter's concern about what will happen when he is no longer on the scene. That is, false teachers will creep in. And they will bring in certain what he calls damnable heresies. Now, Peter, as you know, is a shepherd. In John chapter 21, when Jesus met Peter by the Sea of Galilee after Jesus had died and risen from the dead, he said to Peter specifically, "Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep." Three times he gave that commission to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Peter, you see, was called to be a shepherd. Why, in 1 Peter, if you were with us for those studies, in chapter 5, Peter says, "I am a shepherd, an elder, like you are." And he commands them in chapter 5, verse 2, the other pastors, elders, leaders, to feed the flock. Feed the flock, Peter says, because Peter is a shepherd and has a heart for the sheep. But here's the deal. As a shepherd, we cannot only feed the flock, we also have to warn people. Because if, as a shepherd, a pastor, I only feed people but never warn them, all I am doing in reality is fattening them up for the kill. A shepherd must indeed feed the flock, but part of the responsibility, an equal part of the obligation in the ministry, is to warn people. As Peter comes to the end of his life, as a shepherd who, yes, is committed to feeding, he also feels a heavy burden, an obligation to be warning them, saying, there are false teachers. False teachers have crept in and do great damage to you. And Peter is concerned as he's ready to leave the scene that the people are warned and instructed about this very real hazard, false teachers. Now, Paul the Apostle, Paul, our friend, felt the same way. Why, in Acts chapter 20, and you can turn there quickly or I'll just read it to you either way. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul the Apostle is meeting with a group of leaders from the city of Ephesus, the elders, and he's meeting them for the last time. He knows that he'll never see their face again. He knows that as he's now meeting with them, he'll go next to Jerusalem, where eventually he'll be taken to Rome as a prisoner of the empire. He knows he'll never see them. What does he say to them? He says in verse 28 of Acts 20, "And every spiritual leader or person who intends to be leading should know this scripture." He says to these leaders, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, and feed the church of God. Take heed to yourselves and feed the church of God. And then he says in verse 29, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, verse 30, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul was also a shepherd, just like Peter. And he met with those men there from Ephesus and said, take heed to yourselves and feed the flock, and know this, that when I go, even from amongst yourselves, men will rise up wolves, seeking to draw disciples after themselves. He says, you know how I've warned you for 3 years, night and day, with tears flowing down my face. I'm concerned. Now, for those of you that are part of this fellowship family, I've got to confess to you, this is one of the most difficult duties that I have as a pastor. To warn people. I realize that if I fail to warn people, I am not following the example of Peter in our text, chapter 2. Or what Paul said that we should do in Acts chapter 20 that we just read together. If I only feed the flock and don't warn you, I am in reality doing a great disservice to you. I am just making you fat for the inevitable kill. I have an obligation. And every pastor, every parent, every spiritual person has the same obligation to feed and to warn. Now, this is why it's so difficult. Because when you have to give a word of instruction or warning or exhortation concerning a certain doctrine or a certain person, inevitably people will say, well, you're just being judgmental. You're judging him, Pastor John. He's my favorite TV preacher, and you're judging him. And you know, they say to me, you know what Jesus said. He said that we are not to judge. Didn't he say, John, judge not lest you be judged? What are you doing judging him or judging them or judging that? Turn with me to Matthew 7. Let's take a look at the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, the first book in the New Testament. And Jesus did say those words that are oftentimes hurled at a person who gives a warning about another. Jesus did say indeed, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, mark it, judge not that ye be not judged. The word judge there is krino in the Greek. And it means this, do not judge condemningly, that is with animosity. Don't judge to condemn. And I am not to do that. I am not to be condemning people with bitterness and animosity in my heart. For you see, all men, like me, we all need a Savior. We're all sinners. We're all flawed. We're all frail. We all need mercy. I am not to judge condemningly. But when people throw this verse at you, or when they hurl it at me, hey, what are you doing, John? Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. I say that's true. And I have no intention or desire to judge that person condemningly. But read the rest of the chapter, my friend, I will say to that person. Read your Bible. Read the scripture. And what do you see? Jesus goes on in chapter 7 to say this. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, But inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree, verse 19, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, watch this, verse 20, by their fruits you shall know them. So, precious people, I am not to judge people condemningly, but I am to inspect their fruit carefully. I'm a fruit inspector, you see. And I need to see what kind of fruit that teaching or that person is producing. Jesus said, beware, there are wolves that come to you in sheep's clothing. If we don't judge, not to condemnation, no, we're not to do that. But if we don't judge for identification, to identify what's right and what's true, if we fail to do that, we are not doing what Jesus told us to do. Precious people, parents, pastors, leaders, folks that care about others, if you fall into any of those categories, you have an obligation not just to feed but to warn. Even as Peter is doing in our text. Now, you say, well, John, if that be so, if we have an obligation to be warning our children, warning our sisters and brothers, warning each other, how can we really know? It's very simple, folks. You can know very easily. You can know very easily about a person or about the teaching they're bringing. Because you see, they'll have certain behavior. They'll act like animals. What kind of animals? Well, three animals I want you to take note of. Two from our text and one that Jesus called our attention to. You see, Jesus said, here's the thing. There will come false teachers who are wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. How do you know if someone who comes into our midst is a true sheep or a wolf dressed up like a sheep? How do you know if he's a true sheep or a wolf who's dressed up like a sheep? It's very, very simple. You can spot a wolf dressed up like sheep very easily. All you have to do is watch what they eat. If they eat other sheep, they ain't a sheep. Amen. If they're biting into you, seeking to take from you, then let me tell you something, that's no hue. That's a wolf. Dressed up like a sheep, cleverly. You can spot a wolf by just watching over a period of time what he's eating. A wolf comes to fleece the flock. A wolf comes to you, whether on TV or in a letter or at your door or in a church setting, whatever it might be, a wolf comes to you not to give feeding to you, but to get a fleecing from you. Be very careful that you don't succumb to ministries or people or individuals that are out to fleece you, to rip you off. You can spot a wolf very easily because they come not to feed. They don't intend to really feed you the full counsel of God's word, but they tend to take a few verses or a few concepts to fleece you, to get something from you. There was a guy in Eugene not too long ago. He intrigued me. It was in the days of the Bhagwan, really. And his name was Sri Bambi, speaking of animals. When I heard of Sri Bambi, I thought, oh dear, Because Sri Bambi, you see, was one of these gurus outside of Eugene, and he had quite a large following. There was about 150 people, and they were educated folks for the most part, college grads, who bought into his philosophy, his Eastern mysticism and bizarrity. Sri Bambi's rap was this. It was simply, when you have nothing, you'll have nothing to worry about. When you have nothing, you'll have nothing to worry about. And so he nobly was willing to take all of their possessions so they would have nothing to worry about. And Sri Bambi, like Bhagwan, became a multi-gazillionaire, sitting there in the lotus position, spouting his philosophy, saying, when you have nothing, you have nothing to worry about, so I will take your stuff, you see. Now, obviously the guy is a ripoff. He's an animal. He's not from God, obviously, but be aware of the more subtle kinds of people that come in the name of Christianity. And you'll know them because they're coming not to give to you, but to take from you, to fleece you. So watch out. Jesus said they're wolves. How do you know a wolf? You just watch what he eats. If he's feeding on the grass of the scripture, terrific. But if he's feeding on church members, watch out. Number two, not just a wolf, but now in our text, Peter, in talking about false teachers, gives us another example. He says, these people, verse 22, these people fulfill the proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. They're not only wolves, but a second characteristic of a false teacher is he is a dog. What do you mean he's a dog? Interesting. The Bible defines, the New Testament tells us exactly what dogs are. In the book of Philippians, you can jot this down. I'll read it to you. But in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, Paul says this. Verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Dogs are the evil workers of the concision. Now you say, what does that mean? The concision, or the circumcisers, were people that went around to Christians and said, it's not enough that you have simply believed on Jesus Christ. You must be circumcised, like the Old Testament law says. And so they would tell those poor, new, baby, Gentile brothers, these Judaistic legalizers would come to them with knives sharpened and eyes sparkling, and they'd say, drop your drawers. This is going to be painful. It's going to be hurting, bloody, ha-ha, but it's going to prove that you're spiritual. Paul writes a whole book dealing with those guys. He says, I wish that they would castrate themselves. The book is Galatians. Interesting book. He says, beware of dogs in Philippians. These are dogs that do what? They bark at you. They growl. They say, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. That's too simple. Christianity should be painful. It should be miserable. You'll prove how spiritual you are by how much cutting we do on you. How miserable you are is a sign of your spirituality, you see. Paul says they're dogs. He says, even as you have received Christ in simplicity, so walk ye in him. Keep it simple. Watch out for the dogs, the legalists, who bark at you. Why? What do dogs do? Our text tells us, back into our verse, dogs return to their own vomit. Now, when you watch a dog, it's sad. I have one. It's true. I don't want to go too much into the detail of that fact. But if you've had a dog or two, you know it. Dogs can be so cute and cuddly, but when they have the urge to regurge, something weird happens. They spew something out, they leave it there for a while, and then they make their way back again. Sniff around and lick it up and all the rest. Now, what does this mean? Here's what happens. Why do people become legalistic? Why are there legalizers? Why did Paul say, beware of those dogs? Because what do? They want to bark at you and growl at you because they themselves are miserable. They've given up certain things and they say, hey, if I'm under the law, if I'm in pain, you're going to be too. If I don't do that, if I can't go there, I'm going to make sure that you can't either. And so they pound the pulpit with veins bulging and spit flying. And they say, it's not so simple, this Christianity. You can't, and 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 you can't. Why? Because in reality, they've given it up, but they're mad about it. And you know what's going to happen? Watch this. You watch a legalistic preacher, a legalistic parent, a legalistic person. And what they do is they bark and they yap at others. And then eventually they go back to their own vomit. They go back to the very things which they've made a big deal about what you shouldn't do. They spew it up. They tell you not to. But then they wander back again. And they eat their own vomit once more. They go back into the same sin. You can think of famous TV preachers who ranted and raved about the sins of others. But in reality, such ranting and raving was always proof all the time that they themselves were drawn to the same thing and would eventually go back and eat the vomit again. Watch out for dogs. Watch out for wolves that feed on you. Watch out for dogs that bark at you. And finally, number three, watch out for pigs. Dorothy said lions and tigers and bears, oh my. The New Testament says wolves and dogs and pigs. Watch out. Pigs. He goes on to say, even as a dog is returned to his own vomit again, he says, and the sow, the pig, that was washed, goes to her wallowing in the mire. Now, if you're a note taker, if you're a thinker here, notice that the wolf speaks of the danger of those who are living for materialism to take from you. The dog speaks of those that are into legalism, barking and yapping at you. Materialism, legalism. The pig going back into the mire speaks of hedonism. What's hedonism, you say? To be hedonistic is to be living for pleasure. Now, pigs wallow in the mud. You can take a pig, you can take Penelope, and you can bring her into the bathroom and you can give her a bath, blow dry her hair, put a bow on her tail, put blush on her face, put deodorant under her arms. But Penelope the pig, although he or she looks all fine and dandy for a short time, will make his or her way back as quick as they can to the mire, to the mud, and dive in once again. But the thing about pigs is this. Unlike the dog who eventually makes his way back to the vomit, the pig makes a beeline for the mud, and this is the one area, interestingly enough, where pigs or hogs are social animals. They always desire to move together into the mud. Now, those that raise pigs talk to us about those things, that a pig, normally not a particularly social animal, there is one time that a pig is extremely social, and that is in the mud hole. Beware of those. Not like the dog that puts trips legalistically on you, but then eventually goes back and does the same things himself or herself. But there are those who are pigs who will say, hey, let's dive into sin together. Come on, everybody. Let's party, you see. We can just dive on in and wallow around in the mud together, you see. We're saved by grace, therefore it doesn't matter how you live or what you do. Just party hardy, man, and pig out. Dive in. Go hog wild. There's a pastor, a preacher, who is on all across the nation. I don't think he's yet in our area. I'm sure that he shortly will be. He preaches from Pasadena, California. He sits in a great big huge overstuffed chair with a black hat and dark glasses and preaches the Bible, so-called, smoking a cigar. And I've watched this character. And he curses and he swears and fills his message with profanity and says the most bizarre things while he's puffing on his cigar. And people are there taking it in by the thousands. Because in reality, he is a pig. He invites people to live a life of looseness. He himself has been married many times. He has a whole stable of racing horses. He wears mink coats. He's a doctor of philosophy from Stanford University. He's a very intelligent man. And at one time, as a young man, he was a bright and rising star in a certain large and good denomination. But you see, what he decided to do was to live loose. Decided to go for immorality and all sorts of bizarre lifestyle living, you see. And in order to do it, he invited others to come with him. Let's go wallow together, man. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not, puff, puff, blankety, blank, blank, blank. I just want you to dive in with me in this mud. Get down dirty, you see. Now, any person, any religion, any teacher, so-called, who encourages you to sin or to loose living is a hog. Watch out. Watch out for the hog who says, come and let's get dirty together. Now, in these three animals, and I'm almost done, and I thank you for your patience on this warm morning. But I want you to listen very carefully as we come to a conclusion on this subject. In these three things, you do see the three tendencies that people are vulnerable to with false teachings. First, wolves, materialism. They feed on you and promise that you will be rich if you let them bite into you. Plant your seed. Give to my ministry, and you will prosper too. It's materialism, folks. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Materialism, wolves. Legalism, dogs. Bark, 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 bark. Don't. Pain, 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 pain. Misery, 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 misery. And then they go back to their vomit secretly. They're miserable. They want to make you miserable too. They have no joy in the Lord, no freedom in Christ. And they want to put you under the same kind of bondage, you see. Paul said they're dogs. Legalism. Finally, hedonism. Let's go party hardy. Hey, let's just dive in the mud, man, and do whatever we want to. We'll just live as loose as a goose. Do what we want. Who cares, man? Watch out for such mentality. Feeding on others, barking at others, or getting dirty with others. These are the animal behaviors of false teachers. Well, you say, John, What does that have to do with me? I'm not necessarily vulnerable to that. Well, first of all, we all are. And it would be wise if each one of us would take heed to the admonition of Peter, chapter 2. But secondly, let me ask you something. Maybe you're not thinking that you're vulnerable to such teachings. Materialism or legalism or hedonism. But let me ask you something. What about your behavior personally? In verse 10 of chapter 1, Peter says this. He says, make your calling and election sure. Can I ask you to consider with me? Not so much analyzing other teachers or other people, as important as that might be. But what about you? What about your calling? What about your election? Are you a wolf in sheep's clothing? Have you come to the amphitheater today just to check out who you can hit on? Or do you want to be a part of some happening and take from? Are you a wolf? Well, what can I get? Who can I hit on? What can I gain? I don't care about God, it's about me, you see. And I'm going to come into the flock at Applegate and I'm going to take what I see. I'm going to get what I can. Why are you here today? Are you indeed, perhaps, a wolf in sheep's clothing? You are if you're here to feed on others. Are you a dog? Have you come here today to bark and bite, find fault, rip on? You're miserable and you're going to make others as miserable as you can with your legalistic system and your judgmental attitude. But in reality, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go back to the very vomit that you're accusing others of doing. Are you a legalistic person, under the law, barking and biting and snapping and growling? Are you a hog, a pig? I can't wait till this service is over because I'm going to tell my buddy sitting next to me, hey, I got a six-pack and we're going to the lake and we're going to check it out. And man, let's get down dirty. Piggy. What about you? What about me? The same warnings and words that apply to the false teachers apply to you and me too, to take consideration of, really honestly, are you into materialism, ripping off others to get your way, cheating, doing whatever to enrich yourself? Feeding off the flock to satisfy your own lust? Are you a dog right now, even today, being critical, judgmental, analytical? Are you a hog already making plans to get down dirty with as many people as you can? Make your calling and election sure. Now, there is a difference between a prodigal son and a pig. And I want you to hear this. The prodigal son in the story of Jesus left his father's home, went into the pig pen, and he lived with the pigs. You know, he took his dad's money, blew it all on partying, and ended up feeding slop to the pigs in that far city. And finally, he came to his senses and said, "What am I doing in this pig pen? I don't belong here." A prodigal son, like we all have been, will find himself or herself in the pig pen at some time or another, but will say, "I don't belong here." A pig, on the other hand, unlike a prodigal son, a pig says, "This is where I'm most comfortable. Man, pour the mud on, please. I don't feel comfortable at church. I can't wait till it's over. When we're getting done, I want to go to the pig pen." If you want to go to the pig pen, you're a pig. If you say, oh, I've been to the pig pen stupidly, but I don't belong there. I'm struggling with this, but I don't want that. Then you're a prodigal son, and you are welcome to come back to the Father. Your salvation is not in question. But if you love the mud, man, something's not right in River City. You see, Paul put it this way. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. All things become what? New. No longer do you live like a dog and die like a hog. You say, hey, there's a different way of living for me. And Paul would say, make your calling and election sure. So, precious Applegate flock, this chapter, 2 Peter 2, speaks to me, and I hope it speaks to you. You who are part of the flock of God, you that are born again, be careful. Watch out for those that live for materialism to fleece you. Legalism, they bark at you. Or hedonism, they want to get dirty with you. Watch out. Stay away. You'll know them by their fruit. Don't be sucked in. Paul said, I warned you day and night for 3 years with tears. And I warn you, Applegate folks, there are false teachers out there and false damnable heresies. But it's very easy. Identification comes through observation. Just watch them. And you'll see their fruit. And you can avoid them. But not just in analyzing others, but ask the Holy Spirit to make sure that you are not in these categories personally. And if you are, today is the day for you to say, I need to repent. I don't want to be a hog or a wolf or a dog anymore. I want to be a lamb in the flock of God. See, God sent His Son to be the lamb that was sacrificed on the cross for your sin. He's the lamb slain for you. He died in place of you. He paid for the sin. And then He rose again as the lion. He's the lamb that gave it all for you. He's the lion that now rules with authority and will make a new man of you if you open up your heart and let Him in. May the Holy Spirit give us wisdom to be careful and watchful for the enemies of the cross, materialism and legalism and hedonism. And may the Holy Spirit give us honesty to say, Lord, where am I at today? Lord, have mercy and do a new work in me. And today may be the day of salvation for you. If it is, now is the time. Let's pray, shall we? And so, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that You would continue to protect us, Your flock. Jesus, You are the good shepherd that laid down Your life for the sheep. And You are the great shepherd that's coming back, as the Word declares, and the chief shepherd, risen from the dead. And Lord, we as Your flock just gather around You and pray that You would lead us into green pastures. That You would, Lord, protect us as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We need not fear evil, for You are with us, and Your rod and Your staff, they do comfort us. Bring us, Lord, I pray, to the table where we can be fed properly and grow in the knowledge of You, Father. Father, I pray that where there be in our fellowship, if there be in our fellowship, those that have crept in with another agenda, I pray, Father, that they would be really dealt with, that they would repent, turn away from their error, or be driven away from this flock. And I pray, Father, where in our hearts, each of us, we could be, indeed have been, vulnerable to these same kinds of tendencies. Father, do that work by your Holy Spirit. Make us a new creature. Conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus, who gave his life, who set us free from the law, who lived a life of wholeness and purity. Oh, Father, may Jesus Christ do his work in our hearts this day, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.